podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
Last week, I finished a series, Jesus Said. I want to encourage you to go listen to it. It started off the year. And I referred to a passage out of 2 Peter, and I said something. I kind of want to go back to that, because after I preached it, I went home and chewed on it a while, and I said, you know what? The Lord told me to, just spoke to me, said, talk about it just a little bit more. This is kind of a transitional message. I'm going to start a new series next week that we'll be talking about frequently asked questions. But this week, 2 Peter 1, 5-9, and I read this last week, and it said, make every effort. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. It says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. We talked about goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and mutual affection, and then he tied it all up with this bow called love. And he said, we want to possess these qualities in increasing measure. In other words, he wants us to have more today than we had yesterday. And he said, if we don't have these, he says, boy, he kind of comes straight. He says, you're nearsighted. That means you can't see far beyond your own face. And he said, you're blind and you forgot something. That you've been cleansed from your past sins. And what that tells me is these things, more than an action, they are a reaction. They're a response to something that we receive. And I said something last week that may have kind of stirred some people a little bit, hopefully in a good way. And I said, God is love. But God's first attribute wasn't love. His first attribute was holiness. And out of his holiness, his love was manifest to the world. And maybe it's because I was thinking like that, or maybe it's because my baby's out of town, and I go into grocery stores and I see all this Valentine's Day stuff out, and my one and only one is my Valentine is in Santiago, but I know that it's something God wants us to understand today. So I'm going to talk about what I would just call the ways of love. The ways of love. How many know something about the ways of love? Come on. Where are you married people? Anybody? Y'all better learn something about the ways of love. You don't know something. The ways of love. We already prayed, so I'm going to get right to it. I don't know if you remember, but a couple of weeks ago, I preached the word, and I had us to write on a piece of paper some things that you were thankful for, and then some things that you were praying about but was tempted to give up on. Anybody remember that? And you brought them and laid them on the altar, and I actually took them to my office because I wanted to see what they said. And I started reading through them. You know, I always want to know what's on the heart of your people. And I started reading through them, and I saw a lot that were thankful for salvation and thankful for family and thankful for people and health and healing miracles and provision. But then I read what some many were struggling not to give up on some things, and there were situations and people situations that they were really struggling. I'm struggling not to give up on that person or that situation that I've been praying about. But I was really burdened, and it kind of surprised me almost How many people wrote this that they were struggling not to give up on themselves? It was, my God, it burdened me. And it really propelled me into this message. Struggling. You know, Lord, of all the things I can give up on, the number one thing I struggle with is not giving up on me. And let me begin by saying this. Sometimes God wants us to give up on ourselves. There are times when God wants us to give up on our old ways. He wants us to give up on our old person. That's what happened in this baptismal. There were some people that were giving up on the old man or the old woman or their own child. God, make me new. Bring me up a new person. I'm giving up on that old person because it doesn't work out too good anymore. In fact, it never did work out too good. I was just deceived all along. Sometimes God wants to give up on ourselves, our old ways and plans, and put on a new self with his new plans. But I sensed when I was reading these notes that most of them, that's not what it was talking about. Most of this was born again believers somehow struggling not to give up on following Jesus. And that's not a new struggle. That's an old struggle, as old as 12 disciples, struggling not to give up on following Jesus. I'm here to tell you this morning, you can write it, following Jesus is not always easy. Can I get an amen? It's not always easy. I read somewhere that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And I believe the Bible, but I'm still struggling at times to figure that one out. Can I get an amen? But I do know, if the Bible says this is true, so that tells me the difficult is not the yoke of his burden. The difficult is the heart of man and the flesh of man. In following Jesus, there is indeed a yoke, and that yoke binds us to him, and it binds us together as believers, a yoke. I've got one hanging in my basement. It's a thing they put over two oxen or cattle or more than two to hold them together so they're all going in the same direction. That's what a yoke is. Us non-country folks, you might need that explanation. In following Jesus, there's a yoke that binds us. There's also commandments that guide us. And there is a burden. What Jesus said was a cross to carry. There's a burden. But even though it gets heavy at times, and even so we want to give up at times, I want to tell you this morning that the enabler or the force that compels us not to give up is that word love. I want to speak to somebody who wrote a note this morning. The compeller, the enabler not to give up is love. Love is what causes God not to give up on us. And love is what compels us not to give up on God. It's a two-way love. We've all heard the saying, I know, raise your hand if you heard the saying, love is the most powerful force in the world. Heard it over. Love is the most powerful force in the world. I want to submit to you today that though that is a true statement, it is an incomplete statement. It's not quite telling the whole story. You see, love is a powerful force, but holiness and love are the most powerful forces in the world. In their purest form, holiness and love cannot be separated. And in their purest form, it is only found in the living God. Therefore, God is the most powerful force in the world today. God is more than love. He was first holy. And out of his holiness pours love. God is holy. And God is love. One of the most powerful discourses in the Bible, and one of the most beautiful discourses in the Bible, speaks of this inseparable connection. And Paul wrote it in 1 Corinthians 13. I'm sure most of you may be able to recite it along with me. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. And that doesn't mean you believe anything. That means you believe the best. The best can be. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Speaks of holiness. But it speaks of holiness wrapped in something very important. Holiness wrapped in love. Love is what causes God not to give up on us. Love is what compels us not to give up on God. Love is what causes us not to give up on ourselves. If no one else loves me, if no one else believes in me, Jesus loves me enough to pay the price for my sins. If no one else loves me, Jesus loves me enough to call me family. If nobody else believes in me, Jesus loves me enough to give me purpose. If nobody else likes me, no matter how broken I am or alone I am or failed I am or rejected I am, Jesus loves me enough. Serve a good God. Heavens and earth telling us all how good he is. Somebody out there wants to give up on themselves. And I'm here this morning to tell you, Jesus loves you enough. But today I want you to recognize something. Love is an intricate thing. How many say it's intricate? How many say it can get complex? I want you to recognize the difference this morning in God's way of love and in man's way of love. I'm gonna take you to the psychology of man, just a minute. Excuse me a minute, but I kind of looked up this thing of love. What are man's ways of love? And I found writings that said three ways and five ways and seven ways and eight ways and 10 ways, but I kind of narrowed it down talking about man's way of love. And I wanna talk about the eight briefly. The first type of love we all know is eros or erotic. Come on, how many know what that is? Cover your children's ears. It's named after the Greek god of love, and it's about sex and fertility and desire. And it's not really a bad thing, except in man, it's often misused. It's often abused. And it leads to addictions and broken hearts and broken lives. I read somewhere that eros is like a fire that burns hot, but it burns out quickly. Come on, I won't carry today. But it burns hot. And then there's philia, or affectionate love. And it's like a love felt among friends, especially old friends who've endured hard times together. And then there's what's called storge, or it's called a familiar love. It's a natural form of affection between parents and the children, and children and the parents. That's one that's not talked about. And then there's ludos, or this playful love. And this is like a puppy love, young lovers. And, you know, it's got this baby love or infatuation. How many remember your first kind of person you fell in love with back in school, you know, and those little telephone calls in the night that nobody wanted to hang up first? No, you hang up. Come on, though. I don't know what I'm talking about. You know? Yeah, it didn't really mean a whole lot. It wasn't deep at all, but you know what I mean? It was just, it was deep at the moment, amen, but trust me, it wasn't deep yet. And then there's this mania, or this dangerous love. It's obsessive, turns into a type of madness, obsessiveness, and possessive and jealous. And we all know how dangerous that can get, at least the stalking and all that craziness that's going on in our society so much. And then there's a love called pragma, or enduring love. It's a love that is aged, matured, and developed over time. And like an old married couple has been together for a long, long time. It's getting harder and harder to find them. I'm losing count, 41 years or something, well, 42, walking with my bride, 37 years of marriage, and we got this kind of love now. You know, it doesn't come easy. You got to go over some mountaintops and down through some valleys, and you got to go through some hard times or some good times and hang in there. You got to be mad at each other a few times. You know, I might have to get put out of the house for a week or two every now and then, you know, but you kind of come back on in there, you know, and the love just goes strong, and it's all right. Just let me back in, baby. Please let me in. And then there's this philatio, or self-love. And it's not the unhealthy kind of pride and focus on personal gain and fortune. That's narcissism. But it's this love that's the realization. You can look in the mirror and you can say, I don't care what the mirror says, I'm beautiful. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. I don't care what my boss says, I am valuable. You know, somebody is in a healthy form. And all these loves can be found in the Bible, in either positive connotations or sometimes in the negative. But they're all surpassed by what is the greatest form of love. And that's agape love. This is selfless love. It's the highest and most radical type of love. It's not the sentimental fluff that often passes for love in our society. It's not the condition-based type that our sex-obsessed culture is trying to pass off as being in love. It's the purest form of love that's free from personal desires, expectations, and it loves regardless of flaws and shortcomings of others. And this is the love that was originally given by God to man. All the rest came later. This was the original love that God gave to man. And you see, Adam was created with the ability to make right choices out of this love. I'm going to love you, Adam, even though I made you out of clay. He was also had the ability to choose sin. And he fell from righteousness into a state of what we call the sin nature. He fell into the sin nature of man, and the Bible says we inherited that from Adam. And what that means is we really, mankind is not as God created him. That's why the Bible tells us you must be born again. You see, I'm going to tell you right now, just if this makes anybody feel a little better about their sin, and we shouldn't feel good about their sin, but realize this, you are not totally your fault. You inherited a sin nature. I hear people tell me all the time, but I was born this way. And I say, yes, you were. Whenever you hear that line, tell them, yep. You know, we were all born in some kind of sin. Some were born thieves, some were born liars, some were born, you know, gay, some were born, whatever. We were all born into some kind of sin, but there is something called born Come on, I'm going to give y'all a little conversation. I can't tell you how many stripes I got on my behind for lying as a kid. I mean, I was a born liar. But there's something called born. I love Psalm 51, and it just jumped out at me preparing this message. I'm going to read. It's a Psalm of David. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your loving, agape loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies." It sounds like he's crying. "Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold," listen, he's talking about it ain't his fault. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Come on, it ain't all my fault, Lord. I did it, though. "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." It goes on. Let me give you the context. This is a Psalm of David written after a prophet of the Lord, Nathan, came to him, pointed his finger to him, and said, "You have committed adultery." He was trying to keep it a secret with a woman named Bathsheba. And not only that, she was married to one of the officers in your army, and you brought him home and tried to get him to stay over and do some eros with his wife so that it would look like the baby was conceived by him instead of you. And since that didn't work out, you sent him to the front line and had him murdered. And you're guilty. Then David writes this psalm. David was crying out for some agape love. I often hear people say, "You know what? They're only sorry because they got caught." If getting caught drives you to repentance, sometimes getting caught is the best thing that can happen. David. And the funny thing about God, I can't figure this about God. You know, if you know your Bible, he lost a child. God, oh my goodness. Ooh, thank goodness for Jesus. But he got to keep Bathsheba as a wife. Agape love. I'm sure there's a story behind the story that God knows. We had a plan. And David and that woman, are in the genealogy of the birth of Jesus Christ. That woman. You have to be careful the things you say and the way you feel when people are caught in sin. Often we throw away what God is going to use. Agape love. It's the highest form of love. Without agape love, the rest will not produce lasting fruit. Without agape love, the rest will eventually neglect and disappoint and even harm. Matthew 22:34 says, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked them a question, testing them and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." He said, "This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Agape love. And then while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? What do you think about me? Whose son is he?" And they said to him, "The son of David." You know, the one caught in sin, caught him in adultery with that woman Bathsheba, that murdered her husband, yeah, that one, the son of David. And he said to them, "How does David in the spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool'?" If David then calls him Lord, how is he son? How can he be Lord and son? And no one was able to ask him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare question him anymore. Agape love, but God is holy. Sit at my right hand, and I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. When Jesus spoke the greatest commandments, this great commandment, he was quoting a written word first given to Moses. In Deuteronomy 6, it said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." See, Jesus knew the Torah because he wrote it. In Leviticus 19:18, it said, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." But we have to remember, before Moses was given these laws, before Moses was given these commandments, Moses had an encounter that we all know very well. And the Bible says that he was tending the sheep of his brother-in-law, and he went to the back of the desert, came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel, capital A, of the Lord. Usually when you read through, usually that's a manifestation of Jesus, pre-incarnate. Appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning in fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burned." So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him in the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." See, all this went down before he began to pour the laws and the commandments into Moses. And Moses said, "Here I am." And then he said, "Do not draw near this place, Moses. But before I tell you how I'm going to love these people, I want you to know this. Take your shoes off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy." God first is holy. Then he gave Moses a word of agape love, a deliverance from bondage, from a people in slavery due to their own sinfulness. Same pattern as Jesus. First he came, "I am holy. And now let me give you a word of deliverance, an agape word of love, deliverance from your bondage in Egypt. And I'm going to show you this love on a cross." And in Exodus 3:13, it says, "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to your children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am. I am the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" I am. Sent Jesus to us. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. Are we still living into ever, forever? And this is my memorial to all generations. That includes ours. The very first attribute of God is holiness. And out of his holiness, his love was manifest to the world. See, holiness and love in its purest form, only found in God, cannot be separated. You wanna perfect the love for your husband or a wife? Mix that love with holiness. Our marriage counseling will go way down. God's love begins with his holiness. There was an order with God. First, his holiness, and then he made a decision. I'm going to deliver these people. Lord, I'm going to go down to earth and deliver these people from this. A decision and then an action. We know what happened in Egypt, and we know what happened on the cross. And you know what came last expressed to man? Was emotion. Jesus wept. The Holy Spirit is full of emotion. So he grieves over us. The Holy Spirit drives me to emotion. I stand up here and worship and weep most of the time. When I worship, it's emotional. It should be emotional. It's the last thing that Jesus displayed. You know why? Because it begins with holiness, and holiness isn't a very emotional thing. Often we cover up a lack of holiness with emotion. Man's love is a little differently. Man's love comes from another direction. Man's love begins first with the realization of our sinfulness. I'm talking about agape love. The first thing with man is a realization, I am a sinful person. I was born in sin, and I began to act it out about 2 years old when I learned that word no. Realization of my sinfulness, and then I had to make a decision. You know, when you give your life to Jesus, it's a decision. It's a decision. It's sober. It's thought through. It's faith. I am going to decide that this old man is not working and my only real life can be found in him. So I'm going to decide this day. I remember it was the decision for me. It wasn't very emotional at the time. It was a decision. Out of that decision, I learned about my Savior. Then came emotions. Then came weeping. Then came joy. And out of that came action. I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve him by serving others. God's love begins with holiness. Man's love begins with a decision. Jesus' holiness results in his love. Our love of Jesus should compel us to holiness. But listen, church, we got to be careful. Holiness without love is legalism. It's ugly. Holiness without love, eventually you begin to call things sin that the Bible doesn't say is sin. And you hold it over each other as a measure of your spirituality. Holiness without love begins to tell people that there is, you can earn your own salvation if you're good enough. For most of us, if you didn't sin last night, you'll sin by next week. I'll go there another time. And listen, love without holiness is lust. Come on, I'm talking to somebody today. It's getting quiet in here, Lord. And let me say this, action, you can write me, I'll list these out for you. Action without love is self-centered. I don't care what you do in the pantry. I don't care what you do as an usher. I don't care what I'm doing up here. If I'm doing any kind of action and it without love, guess what? It's not about them. It's about me. And listen, action without holiness is abusive. Anybody want one more? Love with no action is pointless. James says it's dead. I can tell my wife I love her all day. But if I don't serve her, our love, agape love, should compel us to action. Love without action, no value. That's the fluffy stuff in the world. I'm gonna read this again. Worship team, come on. Y'all okay out there? Go back to Paul's words, 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. This is a charismatic church. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidence of speaking in tongues, but if I do all that and prophesy, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, and let me say this, if you think you got all that, you're missing love right off the bat. So that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, not puffed up, not arrogant. It's not rude. I can't believe how much rudeness is out in the streets now. Does not seek its own. Oh. It's not provoked, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. If you think you're never in sin, read through these again and tell me if you get an A+. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, talking about Jesus, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. I lied as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face with Jesus. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. You see, Jesus knows you and me. And he loves us anyway. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest is love. I don't want anybody to leave here today feeling unloved. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands because it's... But I want to do something I've done before in this church. And you may not need to hear it, but somebody needs to hear it. Don't tell them I love you. Let's do the gift. Tell them I need you to love me.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, download our NCC app, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. Thank you and have a blessed week.